Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church. Every week, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about whoopings.
Whoopings, or spankings, or discipline. Here's what we're talking about today. This came off of Twitter. Someone tweeted last week, hey, you guys should talk about discipline in light of Adrian Peterson and what's going on with him. So if you haven't paid attention to the NFL news, Adrian Peterson gave his son a whooping, as they say, using some kind of a switch and left bruises and welts on him. And so that raises the – anytime something like this happens in the culture, it raises the question of how should we discipline children, and particularly the issue of spanking. And so we need to start this conversation by acknowledging this. People use the same word, spanking, and they mean very different things by it. And so the first thing we want to do in this conversation is to say we do believe that there is a kind of spanking that is biblical and that is good and that is right, and that what some people do when they use the term spanking, for instance, what Adrian Peterson did to his child, is wrong and should not be condoned and should definitely not be justified in the name of Scripture. So the first thing we have to acknowledge is that spanking is a broad term. We don't mean by it what some people get in their heads when they think of the term spanking. And so every time we teach on this, we try to do a very careful job framing out what does the Bible mean when it talks about disciplining children. All right, so first things first, the word spanking means different things to different people. We need to define our terms. However, we do have, for instance, Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And so Proverbs repeatedly talks about the rod in terms of discipline. And so that means Proverbs is embracing some form of corporal punishment, of bodily punishment. The question is, what does that mean? And how do we rightly apply that? How do we understand what God means by talking about the rod of discipline in the book of Proverbs? And so as a starting point, we should just embrace this reality. Spanking, the rod, as we're going to build it out, is not the only form of discipline. It should not be the only tool in your toolbox. But we do believe it is a primary form of discipline, especially with young children. I'll explain why in a minute, but anyone who's tried to reason with a 2-year-old has learned quickly that doesn't work so well. Now, with a 10-year-old, works a lot better. But with a 2-year-old, you're not going to win the logical, rational argument. That's not the way to train and discipline a 2-year-old. And so it's very important that we understand what God intends spanking to accomplish and how it's to be done in a right, in a God-honoring, in a biblical way. God gives parents authority over their children. This is one of the things that we need to just establish in our culture, because what our culture is trying to do is to say the state or the culture should have authority over children. And we're saying, nope, parents are the primary authority that God puts in a child's life. Now, that authority can be abused. It can be used wrongly. When Adrian Peterson, for instance, has authority over his son, but he used that authority wrongly, and so he needs to be held to account for that. But that doesn't make him not an authority in his child's life. God gives authority to parents and then holds us accountable for how we use that authority. And so it's crucial for parents that I understand I am an authority and I have God-given authority in my child's life. The question is, how do I rightly use that authority? And when that authority requires me to discipline a child for disobedience, how do I do that in a loving way, in a Christ-like way, in a God-honoring way? And so, Dusty, you and I have taught on this repeatedly. We've talked about this ad infinitum with many young couples in our church, and we certainly acknowledge it's a somewhat controversial topic. People have different views of conscience on this, and so we want to leave some freedom here, but we also want to unashamedly and unapologetically advocate for what the Bible teaches when it speaks of discipline and what we've seen work with our own children in terms of training them and equipping them to be people under authority. The essential job for a parent, as a Christian parent, is to raise a child who is under authority, who respects the authority of parents, of teachers, of guardians, and ultimately of God. And if you have a child who does not respect authority, that's not just going to be a problem for you. That's going to be a problem for every teacher that child is under, every coach that child is under, every boss that child ever works for. The foundational reality in parenting is teaching a child to rightly submit to and honor authority. Just because there's authority there. And then later on, perhaps developing the skill and the wisdom to know, okay, what, how do I spot good authority and bad authority? And how do I begin to learn how to, you know, what authorities I maybe need to resist? But early in life, just the establishing of authority in a child's life is a very primary and main thing. And sort of the core reason for discipline is because that authority needs to be established and rebellion needs to be dealt with in a child's life.
Yeah, and you mentioned Proverbs 13:24, and the other proverb here to mention is Proverbs 22, verse 6, which Christians refer to often. They'll say, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then later on, there's another proverb, same in chapter 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And so you speak to authority, you speak to those kinds of things. And the reality is, whether we want to admit it or not, our children are foolish. And so as you're maturing as a young girl or as a young boy, there's foolishness that needs to be to go far from you, to put it that way. So, and how that happens, apparently, according to Scripture, is loving parents, because if I love my kids, I discipline them. That's what Proverbs says. Then I'm going to discipline them and push that foolishness out of them. And every parent wants their kids to turn from foolishness towards wisdom. And I think the sticking point here is, especially this day and age, is how do I reckon that with Scripture? Because apparently I'm supposed to discipline them for that to happen.
Yeah.
But if I discipline my kids, I'm like a minority now.
Right. And I might end up on CNN or something. And I actually think you're not a minority. In fact, I was just reading a Huffington Post poll in light of what Adrian Peterson did that said even in spite of instances like this that happen, people are still highly in favor of spanking. 81% of Americans think spanking should be legal. But everybody acknowledges that kind of spanking, that's something different, right? That's what Adrian Peterson did is something different, something beyond, something that's a perversion of what we would consider effective and healthy spanking and what most of Americans would consider effective and healthy spanking. So I want to encourage parents that it does seem like media and culture sort of trumpets things like this. And what you see immediately are people latching onto this and going, see, spanking is evil. You should never spank a child.
Sure.
And that's probably an overreaction against an abuse of authority rather than a right and honest reaction landing us to where God wants us to be. So Dusty, let's get right to – I think it would help to spell out right away, what's the right way to discipline a child? Let's talk about spanking in a godly way, and that way then we can contrast it with how parents abuse that authority and do that in wrong ways, and it might help listeners to just see the difference, all right? So let me walk through. This is something I've taught multiple times for the parents at Coram Deo, just the process of biblical discipline. Again, spanking is a primary form of discipline, especially for the ages of 2 to 5, when you have little toddlers who aren't capable of reasoning and timeouts aren't going to work and, you know, taking things away from them just causes more tantrums. They're not at the age where you can reason with them. And so the way Doug Wilson puts it is God's given them a big fleshy behind for a reason because when they feel something that stings that big fleshy behind, it connects with their mind in a way that says, that is uncomfortable. I don't want to feel that on a regular basis. And that's the reason for that form of discipline functioning well. So here's the simple process of discipline. First of all, you clearly define the boundaries and expectations. You never discipline a child when they don't know what you expect of them, what the rules are, and those things being clearly defined. And the first mistake parents make is they discipline their kids just because something drove them nuts, but they never clearly defined, here's what I expect of you. Here's what the rules are in our household. And so you got clear rules. That have to be disobeyed. The second step is you clearly label disobedience as wrong. And this is another place where a lot of parents miss is they don't actually deal with disobedience. They don't teach their kids that disobedience is wrong. They put a lot up with a lot of rebellion, a lot of disobedience, a lot of bending the rules. And so what you end up getting is if mom's in a good mood or dad's in a good mood, the kids can get away with murder. But if they had a hard day at work, you know, they come home and they're just volatile and the kid's going to get disciplined. And a kid doesn't know then what's disobedience. Is disobedience you had a bad day at work or is disobedience I did this thing that I'm not supposed to do? And that's crucial.
They're just walking on eggshells then and everything's based on emotion.
Yep. So we had a line in our household when my kids were little. The question was, when do we obey? And the answer was always right away. So we're just reinforcing when we ask you to do something, we expect obedience right away. Not when you feel like it, not after I ask you four times, but right now. And then applying loving discipline, when kids break a clear rule and they're, you know, they clearly understand that disobedience is wrong, what you see happen, even in the youngest children, is their conscience kicks in. They know. I disobeyed. I broke a rule. I did something wrong here. They're not confused. They're not surprised. They know because they have a conscience that God gave them. They know that they've done something wrong. And so in that moment, then you're able to take them to a place. Usually I would take the kids to their bedroom and sit them down and say, look, you know what you just did was wrong. Yep. It was disobedience. And I want them to understand what the rule was, how they broke the rule, and what the consequence is. It needs to be love. This is teaching and training in love. This is not volatility and I'm at the end of my rope with you and I've had it and you're getting a whooping. You know, this is teaching and training. And so when we were raising our kids and they were little, took them to the room, explained, you know, here's what you did. Here's what you know, you disobeyed. Yep. Okay. So you're going to get a spanking. We always used a wooden spoon and just a couple swats on the behind. Seriously, you know what I'm saying? And here's the deal. You're really going to sting them on the behind. The reason they have a lot of flesh there is because if you've ever gotten slapped on the butt, even by a coach after a football game, it gets your attention, but it doesn't really hurt. You know, you can feel it. It makes an impact, but it's not like it's damaging, right? And so you're giving them a couple swats on the behind and you're just going to sting them and create discomfort in a way that goes, oh, that was not pleasurable. That's a feeling of pain, a feeling of discomfort. I don't want to feel that. You're not going to hit a home run. You're not trying to be Wayne Gretzky hitting a slap shot, right? You're not.
Yeah, if you do, you need to repent.
Yeah, that's wrong and evil.
Then you and Adrian Peterson are the same person.
Right. I got a question for you guys. So help me understand the distinction between foolishness and disobedience. I have three young boys at home, and there's lots of foolishness.
Yep.
But it's not necessarily disobedience. How do I discipline and train the foolishness out if it's not an exact rule that I've set up? Like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, good. Good question. Okay, so first of all, disobedience and foolishness are different categories. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, I discipline for disobedience. I train for foolishness.
Yeah.
Right. So disobedience is you broke a clear rule. There's a clear violation. And that's disobedience. Foolishness is you're childish, you're immature. There's something here that where you need to be trained. And the opposite of foolishness is wisdom. The opposite of disobedience is obedience. So it helps to have those as separate categories. Now they do kind of blend in little kids. You know, you see their foolishness turns into disobedience, right? If you let it go on too long. But I think it's helpful to let kids be kids. Kids need to have the freedom to be goofy and, you know, be childish and make childish mistakes. But you know, when they know when they've crossed the line of discipline, and you know, when there's a persistent pattern of foolishness, right? There's a persistent sort of way that affects the family that I need to sit that child down and go, hey, listen, every day at dinner, you goof off and you make all the other kids laugh and no one eats their food. And that's not okay. That has to stop. So if I'm seeing that foolishness manifest itself, I'm usually in the desire to train my child into wisdom, establishing a rule and saying, okay, so for the next 2 weeks, when we sit down at the table, here's what's going to happen. You know, and now I'm creating a rule for them in an attempt to train them out of that foolishness.
Yeah, I would just say, do your kids clearly know those expectations? You train out foolishness with obedience. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they need to have space to be kids. They need to learn how to not be fools, right? And that just comes with experience. But then you as a parent latch onto that, see that, and then help them obey in light of that and turn towards wisdom in light of that. So I don't think you can discipline foolishness and just say, hey, that was a foolish mistake. Don't be an idiot. Because they don't have a category for that. They don't know. You as a parent have to give them the structure to realize, oh, this was good, this was bad. Now, therefore, I want to obey and do the right thing.
One interesting thing that came up in this Huffington Post article I was reading was that the people who think, oh yeah, spanking's fine, talk about spanking with a hand, which I think is actually the worst way to spank a child because...
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, two reasons. One, you can't create a sting with your hand. It's, you know, it's really hard, and you're using your hand to... your child associates your hand as an instrument of pain, You don't want your hand associated. So the reason we used a wooden spoon is because that the kids knew that's the spanker. Like that only comes out when it's time to discipline, right? And yep. So when that's in my hand, we're having a discipline conversation. But when that's hanging on the wall, all is well, and my hand's not flying at you just because you know I'm upset with you. And to discipline properly, you have to be able to inflict a sting. Something that is going to register discomfort to a child, but not a slap, right? There's you're going for just a sting. You're going for something that registers discomfort, but that doesn't create long-term pain, that doesn't create bruises, that doesn't do what we see Adrian Peterson's child and other children that have been, you know, disciplined in unhealthy ways, that they bear the wounds of that, and we don't want that, and that's not good and godly and biblical. So,
and the other thing there is you want your kids want to be able to associate your hands with loving acceptance, yep. hugging, you know, good affection with your hands, and so you don't want your kids to be guessing at
yeah.
what are your hands doing right now. Yeah. Are we hugging? Are we hitting? What's going on here?
Yeah, and that brings me actually to the fourth step of the process, which is after I spank children, and listen. When my kids are little, you know, two swats is usually sufficient. If it's, you know, if they're a real stubborn, unruly kid, maybe four swats. But, you know, it doesn't take much to register pain and discomfort. The fourth step is to restore fellowship. So I'm staying in the room with them. I'm administering a spanking. They're crying for 30 seconds or so. That was painful. That hurt. And then immediately I'm hugging them, reestablishing relationship and connection with them. Helping them understand that discipline is an expression of love. It's not anger or judgment. The worst thing you do is spank your kid, leave the room, leave them in there for an hour, you know, mm-hmm. and because that expresses discipline is I'm distancing myself from you. You want discipline to be the same thing God's discipline is for his children, which is Hebrews says, God disciplines those he loves, right? Discipline is an expression of God's love. It's not God moving away from us. It's God moving toward us redemptively. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're doing with our kids when we discipline them. So we're moving toward them redemptively and saying, I don't want you to grow up foolish. I don't want you to be disobedient. I don't want you to grow up rebellious. And therefore, I'm moving toward you in love to accomplish God's redemptive purposes in your life.
One of the things I want to encourage parents towards here in light of what you were just saying, Bob, is you want to discipline your kids because you want your kids to obey God. And so I think, you know, if you're having a conversation with a parent, you say, well, hey, parent, do you want your kids to obey God someday? Every parent's going to say yes, right? Well, then you also need to help them obey you because you are their primary authority, going back to what you said earlier. And so therefore, if you want your kids in the long run to obey God and have a good perspective of God and understand their Bible, then you want them to obey you. The other thing here is that everything you're explaining takes time.
Yeah.
And so disciplining your kids is not convenient, right? I mean, it's not like your kids decided a certain time in the schedule that day of when they're going to obey, and then you actually have margin for that. Disciplining your kids takes time, and therefore it takes intentionality, and it always is going to catch you off guard. And that's why I think we need to talk about that, because that's going to frustrate you as a parent. That's going to frustrate. It's going to interrupt your day. It's going to interrupt your schedule. It's not like you planned on 30 minutes of discipline today, but you might need to sit with that kid for 30 minutes. I recall sitting with our daughter one time for like an hour and a half. So you talk about restoring fellowship. And I still remember that to this day. And even since that time, we haven't had to discipline her like we did that day. And so all of this, I just want to encourage parents, you have to expect discipline. And in expecting discipline, expect that to take some investment.
Yeah.
Some time.
And parents go wrong in one of two ways here. And actually what's funny is I think most parents in our culture go wrong in the opposite way of Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's mistake, I don't know where he's coming from in terms of his view of God and how he understands the Bible to teach on this, but he's obviously abusing authority in his child's life. And really spanking that's done out of anger or out of sort of frustration is usually you're an inconvenience to me right now. And so it's a selfish form of discipline. It's I've had it with you. I'm fed up with you. I'm tired of your behavior. I'm going to take my frustration out on you is sort of how that abuse of discipline looks. And that usually tends toward abusive types of discipline. Okay. That's one way it can go wrong. There's a lot of parents that make the opposite mistake, which is I don't want to be an authority in my child's life because that means I have to bear the inconvenience of that, mm-hmm. the persistence of that. It takes faithfulness on my part. I got to check my motives and deal with my own repentance. And some parents would just rather avoid that. And so what they end up doing is abandoning their role of authority in their child's life. And so you even see parents in Coram Deo who do not discipline their kids. And as a result, their kids are a terror. Their kids are a nightmare to children's ministry teachers and to babysitters and to all kinds of folks. But the reason is because the parents are afraid of exerting proper authority. They're avoiding their role that God's given them and the responsibility God's given them, usually out of comfort of, you know what, that would take some investment, some work, some time, some presence. I don't want to invest those things. Now, no one ever really says it that way. They usually couch it in sort of like, well, I'm not sure how to discipline my kid, or, you know, isn't every two-year-old like this? Don't they all throw tantrums on the floor and kick around? No, not the ones that are disciplined. Like, there really is a, for parents who are listening, there's a real clear distinction that needs to be made here that your kids, if that's the kind of behavior you're seeing from your kids, you have the responsibility and the authority before God to change that, to modify that behavior. And even in a gospel context, it's funny because people are like, well, I thought behavior modification is something different than gospel change. Well, yeah, it is. But it's a means of, if you think about how God even trains his children, right? Law and then gospel. The law is what shows us we are sinners and in need of the gospel. Likewise, you're dealing with your child's behavioral sins are a way of helping that child see that they're a sinner in need of a savior. Your discipline isn't going to redeem them, but it's going to accomplish redemptive purposes in their lives. Right. It's a means of setting boundaries for them so that they come to understand authority and sin and see their need for a savior. And so it's really crucial that parents fight these battles and wrestle these things out. And look, this is a process of growth and of you just got to sort out, like you're talking about, who is your child and what is it that, what do they need? And so this isn't a formula. It's not like apply this formula and you'll get these results. But it is a principle, and you mentioned Proverbs 22:6, right? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's not a formula that God gives that says, do X and you'll get Y, but it is a principle. It's saying when you are faithful in shaping your child and disciplining them and helping them come under God's authority and yours, the fruit of that is blessed fruit, and it's precious and it's good. And on the flip side, if you're not faithful to that work, you're setting your child and yourself up for disaster. Because here's what I'll tell you. If you have young kids, which a lot of parents in Coram Deo do, there's going to come a day when they're bigger than you. like you discipline them now when they're small so that when they're bigger than you, you've built a respect for authority in them. If you don't do that, we're going to be calling the cops to help you when they're 16, right? Because it's a whole different kind of heartbreak at that level than just my two-year-old's throwing a tantrum on the floor.
Yeah, essentially what I hear you saying is get busy training your kids or your kids are going to be training you. And so if you have the tantrum kid or you have the kid that throws himself on the ground and they do that kind of thing, why is that? You know, perhaps it's because they've gotten away with it a few times and it's stumped you, and so you don't know what to do. And so therefore they have you trained towards, if they can do that, and that means they are going to insert their domain and they're going to control. Yeah, it's a power play, but you're supposed to be an authority.
Yeah.
And so I think parents get stuck in those kinds of situations like, okay, well, what do I do here? Well, what I want to say is, hey, get busy now, start now, ask for help along the way and get busy training your kids. Otherwise they will train you.
What's your encouragement to parents? You know, dad's away at work, mom's home, you know, in some situations, mom's home with the child or the children. If the parents are supposed to be in authority together, does mom say, wait till your dad gets home and then we're going to discuss this when dad gets home? Or what, you know?
Yeah, I think, so this is where you need to know your kids really well. Because if the husband is supposed to be the head of the household, then he needs to be setting the pace there when it comes to discipline and when it comes to expectation of authority and obedience and those things. But most likely the husband isn't there as much as the wife is there, right? Or the mother. Mm-hmm. And so therefore the husband and the wife have to be on the same page. And so just real quick, parentheses here, before you get married, this is a conversation you need to have. How are we going to discipline our kids? Now, back to your point. The husband has to give the wife and the mother of those children the authority to do the majority of that task, partly because it's just going to make the day a lot easier. You got to be able to spank, and you got to be able to restore to fellowship, and you got to be able to keep moving. Now, sometimes, I will tell you that sometimes just the idea of dad coming home to carry out discipline can go a really long way with a certain kid. And so you don't want to put your kid in purgatory for 3 hours and say, well, you're not going to spank it until dad comes home and, you know, sit in that. Because that's, you know, that's purgatory.
You also want dad coming home to be a blessing. And so if every day when dad comes home, it's like, right. Oh, this is where we get, right. We get in trouble. That's not good. So, but Dusty, you're saying the husband's job is to establish authority in the home. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing a dad has to do is to say, I'm going to establish the ground rules of this household. So how I used to do that when my kids were little is, you know, before I left in the morning when the kids are up, I'd get them all around and say, hey, so here's the rules. I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone for the next 8 hours. Mm-hmm. You obey your mom. And when I get home, I'm going to ask her how she did. So they know dad's not just gone. Dad's leaving, and he's established some ground rules for authority. And then they know their mom has the authority to spank them, or their mom has the authority to say, when your dad gets home, we're going to talk about this. And I'll just say in this simple answer to your question, usually – If it's boys, there needs to be a few dad comes home moments in their lives. You know, because boys are going to test their mothers. Girls tend to be a little bit more compliant toward the mom because they associate with her. Boys tend to disassociate with mom. They know they're not a girl, they're a boy, and they sort of start to feel their aggression. And they, you know, even when they're a little kid, they're going to be obnoxious. And so
they're going to see how much they can get away with.
Yeah. So for boys, there needs to be probably a few times where mom says, "All right, well, when your dad gets home, he's going to deal with this." And dads, you got to take the lead in that.
Dusty, you touched on this a little bit, but why should a single person in Cormdale care about this conversation?
Just a single person or a single parent?
A single person, no husband or wife, no kids.
You need to care because most of the single people I run into and minister to have a desire to be married. Whether or not they wear that on their sleeve or not is different, but most of them desire to be married. And the reason why I'm saying you got to figure this out before you get married is it's just a good conversation to have.
The other reason is because the church is a family. Mm-hmm. And so single people are often the ones who bear the brunt of poor discipline, right? Because they're teaching in children's ministry, they're showing up at gospel community, they're interacting with people's kids. And so I don't think we can say this is for parents to figure out. And what we have to say is the family of God is responsible together to help one another in these areas. And so a single person who doesn't have kids of their own, but's earnest about making disciples is going to want to be helpful to families that they're around and saying, how can I further your parental authority and help you guys in this area and pray for you and be a source of encouragement?
Bob, you mentioned at the beginning that spanking isn't to be the only tool in your toolbox, but the Bible's really clear on it. And some of your kids are a little bit older than mine, and so things have progressed for you in a way. Like my oldest kid is 11, and so things are starting towards that. And I think, you know, there's different, you know, in light of that, what are some different things that you can do kid to kid? Or should I just be spanking forever? Or how does that work? You know what I mean? I think parents have these questions.
Yep.
And so what's your take on that?
I think spanking, or as we'll call it, biblical discipline, because again, I want to separate that from what you see with people like Adrian Peterson in those kinds of extremes. So biblical spanking is a primary form of discipline from ages 2 to 7, right about in that window. I mean, you should start spanking children when they're little, because that's when they learn the most from that form of discipline. Then once you get past 7, 8, somewhere in that range, maybe even 5, depending on your child, you know, removing privileges starts to, if you've established authority well using spanking and your kids have a decent sense of parental authority, then you just deal with it by taking privileges away. And so for my kids, they're all right now older than 8. And so they're all in the season where, you know, it's, I take things away from them. I take certain privileges away. Like for my boys, you know, it's like, hey, they like to play a video game every day, you know, and they spend 30 minutes or 45 minutes playing video games. And so that's an easy thing to take away that they feel, because they're like, oh man, that's recreation for me. I like
just
that.
Just mess with my rhythm.
That's gone, right? And so that's, for my boys, that's often a very common way that we discipline. Sometimes we'll just even take all media away. It was like, no movies, no internet, no nothing. You know, we're going to work in the yard. And they're like, what are we, like in 1970 or something around here?
Yeah, today.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all we used to do in the 70s was yard.
Because back when I was a kid, And I imagine that here's what I want to do. Again, every time we do like a Redeeming Family conference, we always say this. I don't imagine that listening to this podcast, you're going to be like, oh, that totally answers every question I have about, you know, like all this does is probably stir up more questions. And so what I really want to create here is just a space for dialogue and conversation and to say, I hope this makes it okay for you to have this conversation within gospel communities, within groups of friends, and even with us as pastors, if there's ways we can serve and help. You know, the most important thing you'll ever do and the most eternal investment you'll ever make is in the lives of your kids. Yep. So there's not a more important subject you can care about than this one, because what you do in establishing authority and submission in your children's lives will affect the rest of their lives. And so this needs to not be like, I'll get to that once I am done reading this, you know, website. This needs to be a top shelf primary concern for every parent to say, how do I faithfully honor the Lord and raise children who love and respect their parents and the authorities that God's put in their life.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that these things that we talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join this conversation or suggest a conversation topic by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.